So just as a preface, this third Sunday of Ordinary Time, Pope Francis has designated Word of God Sunday to really emphasize the role of sacred scripture in the life of a disciple. We picked this Sunday because this is when Ordinary Time, the cycle of readings, really begins. Remember last week we had a reading from John's Gospel. But in the course of the liturgical readings that were in the year of St. Matthew, those readings begin today. And just as a framing, as we go through Ordinary Time, as you read the readings in preparation for Holy Mass, as you follow along or as you listen, the first reading from the Old Testament and the Gospel, there's a necessary connection. The Gospel is usually a fulfillment of the prophecy that's given to us in the first reading. And if we were listening today, we can clearly see the relationship between those two readings. The second reading is generally from St. Paul, and it's generally a continuous or a semi-continuous reading through his letter. And it's not necessarily connected to the first reading or the Gospel. Sometimes it is, but it's not always a direct and so obvious connection. As St. Paul was writing letters to the communities, most of which he had founded. And so there should be some connection. Because as we heard Paul say today, he preached the Gospel. And so he was writing about the living Gospel in these communities. And so just as we go forward in the rest of this year, as you prepare for Mass and as you're at Mass, try to find that arc from the Old Testament to the Gospel. And then maybe on your own, how does that New Testament fit in to that? And so what we have today is great prophecy from Isaiah, 700 years or so before the birth of Christ. And just background for that, you know, just to peek into salvation history, Jacob's sons were given land, 12 tribes. King David, in the year 1000, united all of those tribes into the kingdom, which he was given the promise would last forever. David died, 950 BC. His son Solomon took over. And about 922, when Solomon dies, that united kingdom splits, the north and the south. Two tribes in the south, near the Jerusalem, the Dead Sea, and in the north, around the Sea of Galilee, the 10 tribes were there. And from that moment on, there was warring. There was conflict between the north and the south. That's about 922. So about 200 years later, an empire called Assyria came in and conquered the northern tribes and took them into captivity. And the chosen people were now dispersed, intermingled with the pagans, the Gentiles, the unsaved. And so this is the situation that Isaiah is writing about. But he gives us great prophecy that those kingdoms, Naphtali, you in the north, you're sitting, you're walking in darkness, but a great light will shine and you will have joy. And if you go to that passage and you read the rest of it, why is there joy? Because a child is born among you. So it's leading its way to the incarnation, to the Christmas gift that we just celebrated. So we always have a connection back to that reality. And so then we see what happens in the Gospel. And so we're at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. We're in chapter 4. So the first couple of chapters have to do with the Annunciation and the incarnation, the birth of Jesus. And then we have the baptism of Jesus and the temptation in the desert. And then when he comes back is where we pick up today. That John the Baptist has been killed and Jesus retreats, or he goes to the north, to those tribes that were mentioned in the first reading. That those tribes that we hear elsewhere in the Old Testament, those two tribes were the first ones that were conquered by Assyria. So the first place where the darkness came, the first place where exile was entered into the promised land, Jesus went there and began his missionary life, his public life, this public life that we're going to hear about for the rest of this ordinary time. And he calls out and he fulfills that prophecy that those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Speaking about himself, the great light is here among you. And this place that was the furthest away, this place that was the darkest, this place that has been in exile longer than anyone else, salvation has come. His message. It's the same message that John the Baptist preached. It's the same message he gives the apostles to preach when he sends them out on their missionary journey. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. So to us, we get familiar with that phrase. But for the Jewish people hearing this phrase the first time, they're thinking back to King David and the promise that was given that their kingdom would last forever. However, for 700 years, the kingdom has been split, seemingly decimated. There are only two tribes remaining close to the temple, close to the Jerusalem. So it's in that very place, the darkest place, the most isolated, the seemingly most abandoned, where Christ comes. It begins to reestablish the kingdom, reestablish the reign of God in the midst of the people. And then he begins to call. He calls those four men. And if we go to John's Gospel, chapter 1, we see that these men, at least two of these men, had already encountered Jesus. They were already familiar with him. And they had spent time with him. And so now it's time for action. And he calls them. And that call is very interesting. Come follow me. Come get behind me and go where I go. Come get behind me and do what I do. Follow me. Jesus didn't come to give us a code of, conduct. He didn't come to give us a philosophy of life to make things easy so that we can live our best life now, to become the better version, the best version of ourselves. That's not what he did. He came to call us to follow him. There was a saying that the disciples would be covered in the dust of the rabbi, that they would walk so closely behind him as the rabbi was walking through the dusty streets, that the men who were following him, his apprentices, would be covered in his dust. And that's the call for each one of us. This is a call that's given to us today as we begin this journey into the public life of Jesus. Follow me, that personal invitation. Don't follow a way of life. Don't follow a rule book. Follow me. And they were in the midst of their life. Andrew and Simon were fishing. James and John were mending their nets. They were in the midst of their normal life. And what did Jesus say to them? No longer will you be fishermen, I will make you fishers of men. He called them and sanctified their natural way of life, their natural gifts, their natural talents, that he elevated it into the realm of heaven. So when we think about our own life, if we apply this story to us, the dark places of your heart, the dark places of your family history, the things that you don't want to post on your social media, the things that you want to keep secret, the things that you're even sometimes afraid to tell the priest in confession, that's where Christ is coming. And this is the message of the gospel, that you don't have to sit in darkness and isolation and abandonment. You don't have to sit in loneliness and woundedness and brokenness. Christ is coming to your life. He has come in proclaiming the good news that he is here. And the message he gave to them is the message he gives to us. Repent. Change your life. Turn around and follow me. Stop trying to make me just one more thing in your life and make me your life. Let me be your life. It's the only way that this system works. We can't be part-time, half-time Christians. The little flower said, I'm going to be a whole saint or no saint at all. There's no halfway to holiness. So what are those things in your life that maybe because you're sitting in darkness or your family has sat in darkness that you're clinging to, that you have brought into your life as a little bit of reprieve from the darkness, from the pain, from the misery, from the loneliness, from the isolation? What are those favorite sins that you cling to and you can't imagine life without? Today, Jesus says, surrender, follow me, repent, believe in the good news. The kingdom of heaven is here. And he says to them, he says to us, I will make you, fill in the blank. He said, he told them, I will make you fishers of men. That he will do the work. If we hear this message of repentance, if we hear this message of the good news, of a new life being made available for us, if we hear this, if we follow Jesus, he will make us into fill in the blank. He will take your life and sanctify it. He will take your life and make you holy. If you follow him, if you are covered in the dust of your rabbi. And this is why the response to our psalm can sing. They were singing in anticipation of this day that we are able to live in. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Mine. He's mine. A personal, intimate relationship. Not that I just find in a book or I see on TV or I scroll through my feed. But he's mine. And if I follow behind him, and he will make me his. And this is the division that St. Paul was writing against to the Corinthians. You claim to be part of this group. You claim to follow this man. You claim to follow this man. We're called to follow Christ. You know, we live in the sad state of the divided body of Christ. Post-Protestant Reformation, for the last 500 years or so, the Christian church has been greatly divided. And St. Paul says, don't follow Apollos or Paul or Cephas. We have churches named after people. The entire denominations, Luther, Calvin, all these men started organizations based upon them. And even in our own time, maybe we don't have the name of the person on their building anymore. But don't we follow people? Maybe not us here. But maybe we have our favorite priest or our favorite bishop, and I follow his philosophy or his theology, and we cling to persons and not Jesus Christ. But even out in the world, locally, 1122, Joby's name's not on the wall, but people are disciples of him. And all of the non-denominational or the Protestant churches are following people. A man who has a great eloquence with the word. But as we heard last week, and as Jesus will always do, points us back to the Holy Eucharist, which is found only in the church that Christ founded, the Roman Catholic Church. And so we pray for a removal of the divisions in the body of Christ. We pray for that day when we will all be united into one. But it begins with each one of us hearing this call to conversion, hearing this call to repentance. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come and follow me, for he is your light and he is your salvation. Amen.